I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
From the century-old St. John's Lutheran Church of Taylor, Michigan, comes the coast-to-coast edition of Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. The message from God's Word is prepared and delivered by Reverend Dr. Richard Ziley, and this local broadcast is made possible by the generosity of hearers like you. To partner with this ministry, write Radio St. John's Lutheran Church, 13115 Telegraph Road, Taylor, Michigan, 48180. That's Radio St. John's Lutheran Church, 13115 Telegraph Road, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, Michigan, 48180. Or you may contact Dr. Ziley at drzeile@juno.com. That's drzeile@juno.com. Or you may like us on Facebook, Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. Any way you contact us, know that the blessing of God is prayed upon you, and we are grateful for your support. Martin Luther's Evening Prayer marks its 10th anniversary by expanding coast to coast to Bakersfield, California, Council Bluffs, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Richmond, Virginia, in addition to two stations in Detroit, Michigan. We pray that you will enjoy this message from God's Word and the traditional worship that accompanies it. May God bless your listening.
Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. is the first and great commandment.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write this your law in our hearts, we pray.
And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write this your law in our hearts, we pray.
Let us kneel to confess our sin. Now I ask you before God who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his anger and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess.
I do confess.
Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent.
I do repent.
Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise.
I do promise.
Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
As you believe, even so may it be to you. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant.
I am your servant, the son of your servant. You have redeemed my sins.
I will sacrifice the thank offering to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text is taken from Job chapter 29. And Job again took up his discourse and said, Oh, that I were as in months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hands on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard it, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it approved, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches. My glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. This is our text. I don't know if you caught the gist of Job's words. If you wanted, you could look up chapter 29 in the Pew Bible. It's the same translation. Job is basically reminiscing about the good old days. You know, I recall being a high school freshman with no friends, no skills, no grooming, no popularity, struggling to pass my classes. By the time I was a senior, I was president of the student body, I knew everybody, I could drive a car, and I'd made the honor roll. Big man on campus. And then I went to college, and as a freshman, I was friendless and struggling and penniless to boot. I learned that life has its ups and downs. Every dog has his day. And the story of Job is the story of a dog whose day has seemingly passed. Well, let's meditate on this central idea, that Job's condition, losing everything and questioning God, is every life which has passed its prime. You know, I used to think that Job's case was an exceptional case, but then I grew up. I came to realize that most of us have an arc to our lives. You know, we start out weak, we learn some skills, and we get a starter job, and then we reach our potential. And we have a family and our kids all gathered around our table. Our family centers on us. And at that point in life, we have the most to give to others, both in terms of strength and in terms of material. But eventually we pass our prime. We may earn less. We may get laid off. We may have to take another job at a lower rate of pay. We may grow weaker and less able to make what we did before. And while our income may not be affected, certainly our prestige and respect at work is affected when we are perceived as slowing down, not as able to commit the energy and the time as some of the other hungrier, newer workers. And during this time, our children grow up and leave. And about half of Americans, our marriage may dissolve or go sour. We have less to give, maybe even becoming dependent on others. Life has its arc, and when you're over the hill and you're on that downward slide, our future is no longer what it once was. You spend half of your life looking forward to tomorrow because tomorrow promises better things. Past your prime, you give up all those dreams. There are not better things ahead, especially if our children or grandchildren are far away or we can no longer babysit. Today I visited a woman whose grandchildren, she has like 6 photos put on her wall in the nursing home. And I said, did they ever come to see you? No, they're too busy. They're too busy with school and other things. Yes. And especially if our health deteriorates, filling our days with pain or worry, bills and appointments. The future is no longer what it once was. And like Job, we may question God. We may get angry with God. Like Job, we may quarrel with friends who may be glad secretly that we've come down off the high horse. Like Job, we may be tempted to heed the siren call of a Dr. Kevorkian who invites us to curse God and die. I realize now that Job is not the exceptional individual. Job is every man. Every man who has lived past the prime of life. Every man who is beset by health problems, who sees a horizon of death and wonders if the future has anything to be desired. Praise be to God that our Lord Jesus Christ had pity on every man. He had pity on you and me. And he who was at the apex of all creation, at the right hand of God, was willing to descend into our flesh, into our life, and assume this life. And so he lived the arc of human life. 30 years in Nazareth, attaining the prime of manhood. For the Hebrews, age 30 is about the prime of life. Your natural strength is at its peak. You've got enough experience to avoid doing the stupid thing that adolescents do. So our Lord in Nazareth had mastered his trade, supported his family. He was a respected member of village and synagogue. At the peak of this arc of life, he embarked upon his ministry. And this too had an arc to it. For he spent a year in obscurity, healing and teaching, and then 2 years of popularity and success, which gave rise to opposition. The climax was his entry into Jerusalem, where people actually acclaimed him as the son of David, as the coming king. But this led to a fall as swift and complete as Job's. After Palm Sunday, betrayed by Judas, he was arrested on Maundy Thursday, and then he was shamed, tortured, deserted, and executed on Good Friday. We thought Job had it bad when he lost his wealth and his children, and one day, our Lord Jesus Christ, within 24 hours, went from revered teacher and acclaimed Messiah to Roman criminal hanging on a cross. And like Job, and like the psalmist, our Lord questioned and complained and questioned God. On the cross, he spoke the words of the psalmist in Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This should teach us that when we are beset by pain, when we feel the emotions of anger or sorrow or questioning, these themselves are not sin. They may be temptations to sin. They may lead us to do and say things that are sinful, but they in themselves are not sin. Job was acclaimed for his patience, and yet he experienced the emotions that you would expect a suffering man to have. Our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect, and yet he suffered the emotions and the temptations that anyone undergoing a cruel death and an unfair condemnation would experience. But this too was part of God's plan. For Christ added a new chapter to the arc of human life. Psalm 16 had expressed it, "But thou didst not leave his soul in hell, nor didst thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." For Christ rose from the dead to show that sin, death, and the devil do not have the last word.
And after showing himself alive for 40 days, Christ ascended to the right hand of God. Not just to return to where he was before, but to elevate human nature, for he is yet God and man at the right hand of the Father to prepare a place for us, his brothers and sisters. He blazed a trail for you and me. And now we have hope at the end of life's visible arc. That horizon which is invisible to us is now the gate to paradise. Christ, it turns out, is the very Redeemer that Job longed for. He is the advocate that Job cried out for to plead with him before God. And now he invites us to receive him as our Redeemer and advocate through faith and baptism. For you see, in baptism we are joined to Christ, and his journey becomes ours. In baptism we receive a new inheritance, a new life, a hope that transcends the arc of this life. Because in baptism we are joined to him, and being his followers, we travel the same trail, the same arc of life, and the same upward journey to the right hand of the Father. As every man follows the arc of life into Job's situation, so we who are united with Christ follow the arc of his life into everlasting blessedness. This is a hope and a consolation to all of us who find ourselves losing hope for happiness in this present life. That's why the Lord says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are you who hear this word of God and set your hopes not on those things which pass away, but rather on him who promised, 'Lo, I am with you always.'" Praise be to God for his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who traveled the same road that we must follow and invites us to follow him on the way that leads to everlasting life. Amen. And may that peace of God that surpasses understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for the sick, the suffering, those who need healing of body, mind, or spirit. For them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in authority, upon whose decisions the fate of many awaits, for these let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each of us in our daily calling, our relationships and our labors, that we might reflect Christ in all that we do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thankful remembrance of our Lord's suffering and death and his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In grateful memory for our Lord's tender washing of the feet of his disciples and his command to love one another as he has loved us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessed body and blood of our Lord, which he gives us in the supper he commanded us to observe until he comes again, and that we might receive it with faithful hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, refuge of the weary.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go to sleep at once and in good cheer.